The reading is from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Thanks be to God.
Kathy, thank you so much. Now, I wonder if you've noticed something different on the stage. I hope you have. There's this great big ladder on the stage, and it's called the Greatness Ladder. So the higher up the greatness ladder that you are, the greater you are. So I wonder how you would kind of rank people on this greatness ladder. Perhaps there might be, the coolest kid in school, and he's a bit higher up the ladder. Or perhaps your boss, so someone a bit more powerful is higher up the ladder. Someone famous or rich. I'm going to stop climbing the ladder now, health and safety and all that, by the way. But someone famous or rich or a king or a queen. And we go higher and higher up this greatness ladder. Well, at the very top of the greatness ladder is one person. And in verse 3 in our passage, coming up on the screen, we see who that person is. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. At the very top of this ladder is Jesus. Jesus has come from God. He has all things under his power. The absolute greatest. Yet our passage continues. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus, the very greatest, got down from the top of the ladder. He got a basin with water. He took off his outer clothes, wrapped a towel round his waist, got down on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. This was something that only a servant would do at the time. Jesus went from the very top to the place of a servant. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself, took himself from the top to the bottom. Now, a few times today, we're going to do an action to kind of remember things from our passage. And our first action is Jesus humbled himself. And I've got big expectations from you children, by the way. I hope you can do this well, where you reach as tall as you can where Jesus was, and then you go as low as you can to where Jesus decided to go. So we say Jesus humbled himself. Okay, I want everyone to stand, and we'll do this together. Lots of energy from all of us. So we'll say Jesus humbled himself, and we'll reach as high and go as low as we can, okay? Jesus humbled himself. Great, let's do it one more time. Jesus humbled himself. Super, take a seat, and we'll be doing more actions later on. So when Jesus humbled himself, he wasn't thinking about his own kind of status, but he took himself down to love his disciples. He was thinking about his disciples and not himself. And it shows that he loved his disciples. Verse 1 of our passage says this: having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus showed his love for his disciples by humbling himself. Now, I want you to imagine for a second, if you're going to show perhaps a family member or a friend or someone at church you love them, if you wanted them to know that you love them, how would you do it? Well, perhaps you might say, I love you. That's nice, isn't it? I love you. But equally, you could show that you love them. So you could do something for them. Perhaps, I don't know, do the washing up at home. Or do something where you go out of your way to love them, to take yourself down from the top to the bottom, to serve them. This is exactly what Jesus is doing. He is showing he loves them. He does so by serving them, by going from the top to the bottom to love them. But the thing is, Jesus doesn't stop there. No, Jesus goes even lower than washing his disciples' feet. He would love not only the disciples, but he would love you and me and the whole world. Jesus took himself to the point where he died the death of a criminal. He died a death that he did not deserve. He went from the top to the bottom to die for you and for me. We can have no doubt that Jesus loves us. I'm going to hand over to Kate. Great. So we know that Jesus loves us. And we know that because Jesus went from the very top to the very bottom. He humbled himself for us. But you see, does it actually make any difference? I mean, it's a nice gesture, but does it actually help us at all? What difference does it make? You see, perhaps if someone wanted to show that they loved you, they might buy you a gift. I mean, it's a very loving gesture. But from time to time, you'll get a gift that is actually pretty useless. It might go to the back of the cupboard. It might be one that you've already got. It doesn't make any difference to you. So the question is Jesus humbling himself like that gift? It's a nice gesture, but it doesn't make any difference to us. Well, our passage shows that not only does Jesus show that he loves us, but his gift is life-changing. And we see that because Jesus humbled himself to wash us clean. And that's what the first thing that we see in our passage. Jesus humbled himself to wash us clean. So we've got another action for that. So Jesus humbled himself and to wash us clean. Okay, we got that? Jesus humbled himself to wash us clean. So let's all stand and do this together. Lots of energy. Jesus humbled himself to wash us clean. Great. Please take a seat. Now, at the moment, we know a lot about washing, and Kate referred to it as well. At the moment, we care a lot about washing to keep us safe from this virus. Washing is vital. And in the exact same way, the Bible tells us that washing is vital. But not to clean us from a virus. No, it's actually to clean us from something even more serious and harmful. You see, all of us have become polluted and unclean because of the way that we treat God, the way that we live in this world, the way we ignore and reject his rules. All of us have become unclean. And this is more serious than a virus. It means that we cannot enjoy life with God forever. It means we cannot enjoy life with God now. As unclean people, he turns us away. We need to find a way to be clean. We need to be washed. And in our passage, the next bit coming up on the screen, Jesus shows what it means, how important it is to Peter. So picture the scene. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet, and finally he gets to Peter. And Peter says this. He says, "No, you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Picture yourself in Peter's place. You know where Jesus belongs. You know Jesus belongs at the very top of the greatness ladder. Yet Jesus is now on his knees serving you. You know this should not happen. So as Peter, you say, "No, no, you should not be washing my feet." But what Peter has failed to understand is that he needs Jesus to wash him clean. He needs Jesus to serve him. And the same needs to be true for us. We must allow Jesus to serve us. We must allow Jesus to wash us clean. Not by washing us clean like for the disciples, washing our feet, but no, accepting Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. That is the way that we are washed clean, by Jesus' blood on the cross. We need to accept Jesus' sacrifice. The decision is ours. Will we allow ourselves to be washed by Jesus, or will we try and muddle on our own? Have you accepted Jesus' cleansing sacrifice? Have you accepted and let Jesus wash you clean? You see, at the start, we asked this question about this gift. Is Jesus' humbling himself, is Jesus' sacrifice like a useless gift? A loving gesture, but it doesn't make any difference. But actually, as we think about what the gift contains, Jesus washing us clean, we realize that there's no greater gift, nothing more important than to accept this gift of being washed clean by Jesus. So accept it. We encourage you to do so. Jesus longs that you accept this gift of being washed clean. So we've heard that Jesus humbled himself, took himself down from the very top to the very lowest of the low, to wash us clean. And this is wonderful news. We want you to accept this. And we also, thinking about Christianity Explored, want to share this with everyone who will listen. But we've got one more point this morning, and it's this. Jesus humbled himself not only to wash us clean, but to give us an example. So let me teach you the action for that. To give us an example, we're walking, we're following Jesus' example. Okay, so the whole thing is Jesus humbled himself to wash us clean, to give us an example. We got that? Rob's nodding. Excellent, we've got it. Okay, let's all stand and let's do this together. So Jesus humbled himself to wash us clean and to give us an example. Great. Take a seat. We'll do that one more time later on, but do take a seat now. So picture Jesus. He's just knelt down on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. He puts away the towel, he dries his hands, he puts on his clothes back on, and he says this, coming up on the screen. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. Jesus has humbled himself to give us an example. Now, I wonder where you would place yourself on this greatness ladder. Perhaps in this past week you've done, I don't know, well at a test at school or something, you're a bit higher on the ladder. Or perhaps you are pretty popular. Perhaps you are kind of reasonably powerful or wealthy, and you would place yourself reasonably high up this greatness ladder. But the truth is, none of us are anywhere near where Jesus is, the very top of the ladder, the greatest of the greatest. And in this passage, Jesus is saying, if I am able to take myself down from the very top of the ladder, down on my knees to serve you, then you should be able to do the same. You should be willing to come down from your place in the ladder, get down on your knees, and serve and love and care for those around you. The Christian is to follow Jesus' example. And I guess the question might be, how can I do this? How can I follow Jesus' example? Well, I'll give you a couple of ideas or places to start. Firstly, perhaps think of that task that you are really reluctant to do, that perhaps you think is below you. I think someone else should do that. Well, perhaps that's a place to start, to follow Jesus' example. Or who is that person, perhaps at church, at work, or at school, that you're tempted to not have any time for? Perhaps you're tempted to ignore. Well, to follow Jesus' example would be to love, care, and serve that person. But I know for myself, and perhaps for many of us, we're tempted to come up with excuses, aren't we? Perhaps we think of someone who's lonely, and we think, oh, it'd be a good idea for me to spend an evening a week with that person who's lonely. But then excuses come to our minds. An evening a week, that's a long time. That's a big commitment. But I think as we look at this passage, we should be struck by how much Jesus was willing to sacrifice, going from the very top to die on the cross. Actually, our sacrifice of following Jesus' example is going to be big. It's going to require effort. Perhaps another excuse might be that no one else has served me. Actually, no one else has done anything of service for me. But we look at this passage, we look at the cross, and we see that Jesus was willing to serve us, to humble himself from the very top to the very bottom. Jesus humbled himself to give us an example. So let's do as he has done. As we finish, let's all stand up and let's do the actions again. Jesus humbled himself to cleanse us, to wash us clean, and to give us an example. Jesus humbled himself to wash us clean and to give us an example. Great. Take a seat and let me pray as we close. Father, we thank you so much that you give us everything. We thank you that Jesus humbled himself, went from the very top to the very bottom for us. Father, we thank you that he did that to make us clean. Lord, please will we accept his washing. Please will we ask him to make us clean. And Father, please will you help us and give us the strength to follow his example. Amen.